When life gets hard, brave people seek help. And sometimes that means counseling. In the 12 years that I've been doing ministry here in the Wenatchee Valley, I have a short list of counselors that I really trust. And Paul and Kim Barger with Strength of Life Counseling are definitely on that list. Over the 7+ years I've known them, they have helped dozens of families in the church, including our own. When Anita and I have needed a tune-up in our marriage, this is where we go. So when I knew that I needed to be away this weekend, in this case to be in Edmonton for my youngest brother's wedding reception, they were actually the first people I contacted. I've been looking for a chance for you to hear from them. So please give a warm Columbia Grove welcome to Paul and Kim Barger.
Good morning.
Good morning. We're certainly glad to be here. It's just a pleasure to be worshiping with you this morning, as well as last night. Andrew's introduction is very gracious and kind. In working with them, what little we did, I think it was just one spark plug that required for the tune-up. You have a very healthy couple leading this congregation. I'm sure you understand and know the blessing that they are to you. We certainly appreciate Megan's presence in our office and ministry. She brings just a breath of fresh air and a lot of energy and enthusiasm, as well as a lot of skills that are really helpful for us. So we're very blessed to be having her. Kim and I met in 92. We'll be married in August. In August, we'll be married 23 years. We met in grad school in Virginia Beach. I am native to the Northwest, born in Goldendale, actually, south of here, and raised out on the peninsula. Kim was born and raised in St. Pete, Florida. And so, opposite ends of the country, the Lord was gracious enough to me to bring us together in Virginia, where we started our program in counseling together. Married in between our first and second year of the master's program, and finished up together as husband and wife getting our master's. We had one son, Taylor, in Virginia. Our second son was Austin was born in Atlanta, Georgia. Third son born in St. Pete, Florida. So we scaled the East Coast and had children along the way. We've been here since 07, came here in 07. The Lord was very clear about bringing us here, and it's been a joy to be back here. For me in the Northwest, my family's migrated over here to the east side. It's one of the draws that brought us back here. So it's been a wonderful time to be settled in here and just experiencing the Lord's blessings in our lives. This morning, as Andrew introduced a topic to us on biblical habits of healthy relationships, as Kim and I were thinking about our own lives and some of the habits we're trying to develop and maintain, this particular thing that we want to share this morning, we hope will be helpful to you. It's very helpful for us in terms of just how to think about some of the struggles we've been through, how to work them through as a couple and as a family. And so the principle we want to share this morning is the principle of agreement. I'd like to start by just asking you to think about a recent conflict, or it doesn't have to be recent. It can be an old conflict that maybe in some ways isn't resolved for you yet. I'd like to be just thinking about that for a moment. Could be in the marriage, a marriage. Could be a parenting issue. Could be in the workplace. Could be with a friend. I'd like you to think about as you're recalling that, what you believe was the cause of the conflict. An action done against you, an action you did, an attitude demonstrated. Maybe it was based on opposing values. As you're thinking about that, it becomes apparent that unity was broken. And this topic of agreement is about how to maintain unity, how to regain it in relationship. We're all wired for emotional connection. And that flows from the Trinity. God Himself is unified and us being created in His image helps us draw and gain emotional connection. John 17 says, "The same glory you gave me, I gave them, so they'll be as unified and together as we are, I in them and you in me. Then they'll be mature in this oneness and give the godless world evidence that you sent me and love them in the same way that you've loved me." It's a very powerful word. He's designed us for unity. And His heart is for us. His love for us is drawing us to Him. It's a love that flows out of who He is. It's a love that He desires for us to have and to experience between Him, between us and each other. It's a very meaningful topic. So I want to talk about the principle of agreement, what it is, and why is it important, and what it provides for us. So first of all, an agreement is an arrangement by which people agree about what is to be done. It's an arrangement as to a course of action. It's a harmony of opinion, action, or character. So when you think about that conflict, it was probably based on, a character issue, an attitude displayed, an action done. So harmony was broken at that point. So agreements are about maintaining or resolving those problems. Why is agreement important? Because it promotes connectedness. So if one person has a need, and that need's not talked through and steps taken to meet it, then that unmet need can become a driving negative force in the relationship. The spirit becomes wounded, and desire for and commitment to the relationship begins to die. Therefore, agreements to meet specific needs in relationship are vital to the health of that relationship. Many things flow from connectedness, from the emotional connection we have from each other. Significance, value, worth, meaning, and purpose. It's a thought that's come to me over time working with people. The thought is that anything not connected to something dies. Anything not connected to something dies. So if we're not connected to each other, if we're not connected to the Lord, if we're not connected in each other's lives, we begin to wither emotionally. So that's what it is, and that's why it's important. Amos 3 says, "Do two walk together unless they've agreed to do so?" So the scripture is just replete with many references to unity. Our original intention by God was that unity. It was established in the garden, and it was broken at the point of the fall. But His original intention is what is being restored through the work of Christ. So every agreement that's made to meet each other's needs provides two things. Just think about the two things that that it gives us. The first one is shared unity or oneness. So the first thing it provides is oneness. 1 Corinthians 1:10, "I appeal to you, brothers, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another, so that there may be no divisions among you, and that you may be perfectly united in mind and thought." Ephesians 4:3, "Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace." Again, this is just a very powerful topic. I love the word. I love what it means to me. I love what it has done in my life. I love what it's done in our marriage and family. And it's just very encouraging to be under its teaching. So the first thing it provides is unity. Second thing it provides is vision, shared direction. It gives individuals and people in relationship direction. Philippians 2, 1 through 4 says, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from His love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfishness or selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility, consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should not look only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Proverbs 29:18 says it this way, where there is no vision, the people perish. The NIV translation says it this way, where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint. You've probably reached a point at different times in any particular kind of relationship where you had the thought or you said, I just don't care anymore. Become indifferent to the relationship. Desire for the connection is lost. It's waned. And that's what that phrase means, casting off restraint. It's a horrible place to be in. So the two things it provides are unity and vision, unity and direction. Two things that it prevents. The first thing it prevents is selfishness. I just referenced Philippians 2. The second part of that I'll read again. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interest, but also to the interests of others. It's very difficult to practice that because we're born self-focused. We're born selfish in our sin. And it's only by the Lord's grace, only by His power, only by His life coming into us that we're freed from that self-focus, that we can turn from ourselves and from our own needs and begin to identify and know what others need and to walk in the fulfillment of that. We're in the season of Easter where we're celebrating Christ doing the same thing, where He gave up all His rights, gave up position, and came to us. Looking out for our interests eternally. It's an amazing gift. The second thing that agreements help us prevent is conflict. James 4 says, what causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You want something but don't get it. You kill and covet but you cannot have what you want. You quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend it on your pleasures. So it's an amazing thing that James is doing here. He's bottom lining all conflict to one issue, and that is our own desires put above all the desires of others. So I'd like to give the moment here to Kim. She's going to take this concept and just apply it through sharing some examples from her own lives, her own marriage, and parenting. So she'll give some application to this this principle.
So my job is to get a little personal. Agreements are very precious to Paul and I because at a certain point early on in our marriage, we realized pretty quickly that things were kind of spiraling out of control. We had great intentions, have kids, get married, be happy, and everything should turn out okay, and it really wasn't. So it wasn't until we realized that we needed to get some principles in place. So what I thought I would do is give you examples of agreements that we built in our marriage that helped reduce the amount of conflict so that we could increase the amount of positive connection. Now, I'm not giving you these examples to say Ours are wonderful. Please use these. I'm just saying these are the examples that helped our marriage in the areas of parenting. And marriage has a lot of different components to it. And so for us, we built agreements in probably 12 different areas. And I'm going to share three today because it's probably the most common ones that we see in our practice that couples come in and they're fighting over to the point of wanting out of the marriage. One of them that's a hot topic is finances. And so I'll share a few of those with you on what was helpful for us. We agree that money is not something we own, but rather something we manage as a gift from God. We agree to a monthly budget and to honor the limits we have set up within that budget, which is a really hot topic. We personally use YNAB, which is called You Need a Budget, and it literally transformed our business finances as well as our home finances. We agree to sit down once a month and review our budget. We agree to not spend more than $100 without asking each other. We agree that Paul will carry the primary responsibility of providing for the family, including my Collins budget. We agree to tithe a minimum of 10% to the church and to give offerings monthly as they come up. And two others that are very important for us, raising sons who will have this responsibility of providing for their family, is we built financial agreements with our sons on what they will pay for, what we will pay for, and at what ages, as well as when they were each two, we began a savings account for them, and we trained them that 10% of everything they make goes in savings and 10% tithe. We also believed in raising them that credit cards are from the devil and that you don't buy anything unless you can pay for it, but that you can pay for it and it won't cause hardship in other areas that you need to budget. And they are all walking that out today as far as their cars and their financial responsibilities. So we built those financial agreements. I will say that finances wasn't one of the topics that we've ever fought about, but we're passionate about it because we see so much conflict in the office over money. That's only a few. We probably have 10 to 15 agreed upon components under every category. I know it sounds exhausting, but after a while it becomes easy because then you just know it.
Let me just say this. A thought comes to mind, she's sharing. You don't have to form agreements only because there's a fight going on. You can identify areas to agree in and develop them so that you're proactively ahead of preventing conflicts. So either way, they're helpful.
Well, parenting is a really big issue that we believe agreements need to be built on. And again, we get married, we have children, and we bring into that relationship how each of us were reared, good and bad, and without something to guide what we're doing with our parenting, it really becomes war. And the kids pick up on it really fast. So some of the things that we utilize, we were reared very differently, and parenting was one of our issues. So we agree that biblical values and principles will guide our parenting, which means that when there's a correction needed, we would apply the Word of God versus what our opinions are. Because our kids are kind of smart, like all of them are, and they know everybody has an opinion. So when we give them, this is what God says, and we're only stewards of it, it seemed to really help motivate them to want to comply versus it being our opinion. We will discuss and decide how to handle major issues before they arise. So we built agreements on what we would do with everything from when they can drive to when they can have a cell phone, what age to date, what to do if they get bad grades, all the things that kind of hit you as a parent, we tried to build agreements on them so that we were unified and the kids could not divide and conquer, which is what they're all very good at doing. We agree to pray with and for our sons on a regular basis. We agree to Bible reading and family discussions around the dinner table as often as possible. These are some of the things that really helped our family talk about God, be united. And if we don't have agreements, we tend to say things like, well, tomorrow night because I'm really tired and this office was exhausting. And then tomorrow night comes and this, well, I got to go to the gym. And if you don't have an agreement to really give you the unity and direction that Paul talked about, it doesn't happen. It just doesn't happen. And that's what our experience has been. The last and third one I'd like to talk about is us. And us encompasses a lot. And each of you have your own particular what would fall under the us category. For us, we agree to put God first in our life. We agree that Paul is the head of our home, and he's primarily responsible for teaching our family about the Lord. We agree to relate to each other with respect and honor our vows, both mentally and physically. We agree to be intentional regarding our relationship with the Lord, meaning that we will dedicate time for reading, journaling, praying, and talking together about what we're reading and journaling and learning. The hardest one is we agree to keep a balanced life with work, kids, family, friends, and activities. And this is a struggle for everybody because life is very busy. And I believe that Satan's number one goal is to keep us distracted. Because when we're distracted, we lose our unity and our direction. Therefore, we're not as, not productive, but we're not as victorious in the things that we're trying to do. And then we agree to hold each other accountable when we see any area slipping, just to kind of point it out. Again, our passion is many arguments can be eliminated by building agreements. You just take them right off the table. And oftentimes what will happen is when you have built an agreement, you will find that one of you or both of you do not honor particular agreements. And there's usually heart issues in that that causes not to honor it. And then you need to agree. A lot of times we've said the word agree. But then you need to agree to talk about why you're not honoring it. Because we want to get to the root of that problem. Because oftentimes it is a heart issue and it's buried and we don't even know what it is until we have something in place that says, I won't break the budget, or he won't be gone from the home more hours than in the home, and those kinds of things. And then those are the things that we want to invest our emotional energy into to work out, because those are the heart issues that I believe transforms us to be more Christ-like. So again, our goal is to put as much positive into our bank account by reducing our negative interactions. And agreements are like contracts. That if they're broken, it does break trust. But if they're honored, it builds wonderful things into your relationships. It builds respect, honor, love, security, significance. They were transformational in our marriage, and they have been for many couples that we walk alongside of, and that's why we wanted to pass that on as our topic today.
Two final thoughts as Kim was talking. First one she already alluded to, I just want to tag on it, and that is that as soon as you establish agreements, what you'll find is that it will help reveal what's actually in your heart. Because with your mind and your reasoning, you can say, here's what I do agree to. But then there's probably things going to be coming up in your heart that's causing you to violate the agreement. So in one sense, agreements are helpful to reveal the heart status, because God wants to rescue you and continue reconciling and sanctifying your heart. So as things come up when you realize, you know what, I'm really struggling to maintain or to keep this agreement, it just creates a great opportunity for you to go to the Lord for help, for empowerment, for revelation of issues that may need confession and repentance, and then just growth and freedom. Certainly also at times causes us to seek out help, whether it's a trusted friend, a pastor, a pastoral counselor, or just anybody who can be offering the help, someone who you respect, who's further down the road, who has some maturity in their relationships as you're observing them. So don't be ashamed to reach out for help. The final thought is that the enemy hates unity. You should be thinking about that, because you're in a battle today, whether you know it or not. And the issue is, which side of the battle are you fighting from? Are you in a moment where your flesh is You're giving permission to your flesh to operate in your life. It's causing destruction. It's causing disunity. Or are you operating in the life of the Spirit, where you will be experiencing the attacks of the enemy and the pressure and the attack and the conflict from your flesh to stop living in that free place? So it's helpful to think about agreements as necessary and important to help in the battle against what the enemy's intentions are. I think we've said a lot today. And what we did is, in terms of outline, we've got some copies in the back. Megan printed them off at the welcome desk. So that'll help in terms of just maintaining or retaining some of the information we've given you. Why don't I pray? Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you, Lord, for your presence here. And I thank you, Father, for your grace to all of us. Your desire, Lord, is for us. It's for a connection with us. And that connection, Lord, you passionately desire for eternity. I thank you, Lord, that even as we broke unity with you in our sinfulness, that you took action, you took initiative, you came because of love to reunite us with you. I thank you, Lord, that we have your Spirit today to help us in maintaining that unity with you, with each other. And I pray, Father, that as we get more unified, that the world would see that they would be drawn to that. So cause us, Lord, to walk in a way from this day forward that honors you and fulfills us and glorifies your name to the world. In Jesus' name, amen.